Well, if you're the rare person who's never dealt with conflict in your family, this might not be the show for you. You may want to hang on at least and hear Tim Shriver talk about his book, Fully Alive, as he talked about the Special Olympics. But let's say you've had a little conflict in your family, like me. I can certainly attest to the fact that I've had it. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you'd like some advice about dealing with some of the difficult people that you have to come in contact with on the holidays. And maybe there are people that you have to come in contact with the year round. Terry Barnett Martin is our guest to start the program. She's been a licensed marriage and family therapist for more than 20 years, practices in Irvine, California. She's the author of Tending Fences, Building Safe and Healthy Relationship Boundaries. And Terry, welcome to the Ideas Network. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you along. What is it about the holidays that can lead to, what's a good way to put it? Challenging interactions, let's say, with family.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things. I think that we have expectations that the holidays will be magically perfect in every way, or we hope they will be better than last year, and that people will get along. And so we go into them with, I think, high hopes, some of us, and people are who they are, and that's what we kind of have to get our minds around, our heads around, that people are going to be who they are, and we need to sort of prepare for that.
Are there some good ways to manage your expectations? Don't set your expectations too high is probably one thing.
Yeah, I think the rule of thumb that I try and go by, and it's not an easy one, I have to remind myself all the time that I'm only in charge of me. I can't, be in charge of anybody else's actions or reactions. And I think that's where I start. You start with yourself and your expectations for yourself. What are you going to bring to the party? Literally, what are you going to bring as far as emotionally and, just compassionately and fun? You know, if you're a person who brings a lot of fun, I have a couple of sisters-in-laws who are, I call them a party in a box. When they come, it's like the party starts. That's what they bring, And if you start with yourself and you realize, okay, this is the gift I have to bring of myself, and realize that it's not your responsibility to boss anyone else around or make somebody else be what you want them to be for you. And that's a hard one to accept that you can't have expectations for other people. But I think that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I guess I agree with you on that. That's what our expectations are. We think somebody's going to change or that things are going to be somehow different. They're not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it can feel disappointing, but you could be very proud of yourself if you go into a situation and you just say, well, they're just being who they are. Unless, of course, they're really jumping over your fence. And that's when somebody jumps over your boundaries and is in some way imposing on you, then there's some action that you can take.
I want to talk some more about that, but I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. As you listen, are you worried about how to navigate a tricky relationship at the holidays? I think Terry can give us some help here. Have you been able to maybe turn a difficult relationship around or at least have developed better ways to manage? We'd certainly love to hear your own experience as well, and you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions or your comments there, and we would certainly love to hear from you. And when you said jump over your fence, what would be an example of that?
Well, I think at our Thanksgiving, our family Thanksgiving gathering that we just had, there was a situation where one of my sisters-in-laws, who is just beautiful and wonderful, a bit of a force of nature, she kind of forced somebody else to do something that they didn't want to do. And it was really difficult for that person. It was humiliating and embarrassing, and but it wasn't meant with any harm, but it did harm. You know, so that's a situation that can sometimes happen, that somebody that is a fairly big and happy personality, sometimes they don't see that other people aren't as outgoing as they are and can be embarrassed by something that they wouldn't be embarrassed by. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, absolutely. I understand. I think John in Stoughton has a follow-up to that. John, hi. Thanks for calling. John, are you there?
Yeah, Larry.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just thinking that this is intriguing, and I know sometimes it helps, for me anyway, to have an example so I can kind of get the idea a little better. Maybe she could give what a typical boundary might be somebody would have, and what it would, how somebody could have that boundary stepped on or crossed, and what you do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great question, John. The way that I look at boundaries are fences. I call them relationship fences. And what I do before I even go into the holiday parties with my family's friends, neighbors, I take an inventory in my own mind of the people that I'm going to come in contact with and the kind of connection that I have with them or that I want with them. And then in my mind's eye, I build a fence, you know, that borders them and me. And to the extent that I feel safe and comfortable with that person, the fence is, you know, if I'm feeling very safe, I make a fence, let's say like a split rail fence, you know, something very simple that we both lean on our, either of, you know, one on one side, one on the other. And, you know, we have a lovely, comfortable conversation. And that's a sort of an imagination kind of exercise that I do. And then with people that have a tendency to jump over my fence, if you will, I build a taller fence in my mind's eye, and sometimes with brick, and sometimes maybe if it's somebody who has a tendency to be offensive or say things that might offend me or embarrass or bug me in some way, I will also imagine that there's Teflon on that fence that will allow whatever they say or do to slide back down on their side and not affect me. So that's one way of addressing it in the power of your mind kind of a way. And then the other way, of course, is to just be really clear with your words. If somebody is stepping over your fence, and there's somebody who will listen to you, to just, you know, say, you know, can you give me some time? Can you give me can you step back a bit? And if it's someone who won't listen, then I think it's always a good idea to remove yourself from their presence. You know, go to another room or go to the other side of the room, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Good points. Thanks, John, for calling. Erica in Sparta has a comment. Hi, Erica. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking it. Well, the key word that I heard was jumping over the fence, and I've got kind of a question of how can I mentally myself get over something that's going on. We live in a small town. It's a very neighborly neighborhood. Everybody gets along well. We're friendly. We have one neighbor that we directly share an alley with, though, that is not neighborly, and videotapes us in the alley because she doesn't like how we behave, doesn't like how we drive, and the police has been out, and there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. She's just a videotaper. And how do I get over those feelings of anger towards that and the frustration and violation feelings of being taped in my own yard when there's nothing I can do about it?
You have examples. Thank you very much for calling, Erica. And I'd say, Terry, you kind of raise examples like that in your book.
I do. There is a story in the Tending Fences book that comes to mind, and it's one of my favorites, and it's called Dung Rain, and it's a horrible name, but it's the best way I could put it with the wording that I wanted to use.
That's how I feel too.
It's about somebody who in some way or another, and in this case she's totally imposing with She's violating, like you used the word perfectly, violating she doesn't really have the right to do that unless it's in her yard. I mean, if you're doing something in her yard on her driveway, then she can do that. But if it has something to do with you're staying on your side, you're not harming her at all, she's really stepping over the fence. And I see that as somebody who's kind of throwing their stuff over the fence, you know, kind of imposing their negativity on you, and it sounds like it's making your life very uncomfortable there too.
It
and
is.
So yeah, so in your mind's eye, I think if you can't take the camera down, well, there's a couple impish things that come to my mind, that you do a funny little dance or something that pretty,
yep.
You know, do a little flash mob for her or something, but.
Yeah.
But on the other side, those
my 12-year-old has it covered, actually.
Oh, really? So the other thing is too, in the book that the Dung Rain story, the main character Avery's soul, which is really every soul, every person, really is kind of deluged. Oh, hard for me to say that word. By the dung that the neighbor, whose name happens to be Bub Abuser. So it's kind of they call him Bub, but, you know, he's somebody who's abusive in his own way. And that's kind of what this person is doing. They're abusing your privacy. You know, they're stepping on the fence. Anyways, he is shoveling over his cow dung into Avery's yard, and Avery finds his fence is not tall enough. And it's more of a mental fence than it is a physical fence. And then he starts to build a fence that's 30 feet high and stronger than the one before, and he gets help from somebody else. Who comes in and says, hey, do you need help? And he takes the help and he builds the fence. And that's something I think is also a good idea, is for you to have a little help and support from your neighbors with this kind of a situation. And pretty soon the fence is built and the neighbor Bub is still shoveling, but it keeps hitting the side of his fence and falls back down on him. So he has to deal with his own cow dung, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that exactly helps, but, you know, if you can
just kind of persevere, keep a stiff upper lip and try to build that wall so it doesn't eat me up, huh?
I think so. It really, the wall or the fence that you need to build is really to protect yourself. And it's not a literal fence, although you could,
yeah,
if you wanted to build a literal fence. But
that
would be
it's
that
the
would
alley.
Be
yeah, it's the driveway in the alley. So
we yeah, that wouldn't work.
I do that. Yeah. But I think that's one way of doing it. And that is that particular story has helped so many people when they read it, and they really kind of take it in. It really bolsters their strength as a person and allows them to feel safe in their own world again. And I've had that experience like you've had before, where a neighbor was really awful, you know, to us, and we really didn't even want to go out of the house, that kind of a thing.
That's,
and I think
I've been parking on the street instead of using my own driveway,
yeah,
and it's
yes,
crazy to live like this in our nice little
it
neighborhood.
And yeah, it really is. The only thing I can say is those people that lived next door to us that weren't very nice, they moved after a year, and our life was much better. But I'll pray for that for you.
Thank you very much. That is exactly what we're hoping to, because we like to live here. But thank you for your comments. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for calling, Erica. I appreciate your call. Visiting today with Terry Barnett Martin, a licensed marriage and family therapist for more than 20 years. She's the author of Tending Fences, Building Safe and Healthy Relationship Boundaries. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're learning how to deal with difficult people, especially over the holidays, with our guest, Terry Barnett Martin. And if you have an experience to share or a question about this, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you can post question or comment there. And let's turn to next to Larry in Dallas, Wisconsin. Larry, hi. Thanks for calling. Larry, are you there? Oh, maybe we lost. I'm sorry, we lost him. Let's try Kelly in Darlington. Kelly, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for listening to me. I am a manic bipolar depressant, and I went through a bitter, bitter divorce, and I have two children. But I was willing to take all the blame just to have the love of my children, and they won't do it. They want to take sides, and they won't call me or come and see me, and the only time they do come and see me is when they want money. And, of course, with my bipolar, it's controllable with medication. But even then, you know, it sets it off, and I go through anger and then depression and suicidal thoughts. And so I made a decision I made mistakes. They made mistakes. My ex-wife made mistakes. But I made a decision that I cut the cord and told them when they want to accept me as their father and love me as their father, then I would be more than willing to have them back in my life. But until then, I'm not going to have them in my life. I can't do it because of my manic bipolar. And I'm just wondering if I made the right decision.
Kelly, that's a hard question, I'm sure, for Terry to answer, but I bet she has some thoughts. Terry?
Yeah. Kelly, first of all, my heart goes out to you. I know that divorce is a very difficult thing, and the way that families kind of play that out, it takes some time. I don't know how recent it was, but it takes some time for things to get sorted out. And it sounds like you built a good fence for yourself that said, okay, it's not working. I can't handle it. It sounds like it's sort of pushing your buttons and that you just needed to kind of pull back. And I think that's okay. If you can do it with compassion for them and for yourself and understand that this is not easy for anybody, it's fine for you to take the step back. I don't know that you want to, make it too adversarial, though. First things first, you have to own yourself, and it sounds like you really have taken your responsibility, and you don't have to take responsibility for the whole thing, but just your part. And work on that. And if you need time and space to do that and maybe give them a little breather for them to figure out, you know, where does it all fit, I think that's not a bad idea. It's how you deliver the message, though, of pulling in or pulling back that matters. If there's a way that you can say it to them, even if you've already said it to them, that this is about me, I've got to take care of myself right now, I've got to pull back and, you know, give each other some space and then see if a little bit of time and space will help heal some of it. Does that help at all?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I'm sorry for your issues, Kelly. It's it must be a terrible thing to have to deal with, but I certainly respect and honor what you are doing. I think what you're doing is probably the thing that is best for you. And as Terry says, if you have a good way to communicate that to your children, all the better. Good luck to you. I hope we have a chance to hear from you with some positive words down the road from you. Thank you for calling very much. We have other callers online. It's just so many difficult situations. And I imagine, Terry, you've dealt with the whole range of family kinds of issues.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of different kinds of people and situations, and they're pretty compelling.
Yeah. John in Sturgeon Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Sure. Good morning. Great program. It's something that's on a lot of people's minds as you get together with relatives that you don't see very often. What about a situation where you've got you have siblings specifically, you don't see them very often, mainly at the holidays, but their parenting techniques are just very different from what yours are, and when they come in with their small children, it ends up kind of being a a free-for-all, and, you know, you've got, you try and set up some sort of ground rules as far as, you know, okay, kids are going to kind of eat over here, and the next thing you know, they got their 5-year-old is sitting eating something messy on the leather couch, and they leave food around, and you don't want to be that aunt or uncle, but at the same time, it just seems pretty blatant, or else they just don't even know what their kids are doing for, you know, and the kids are at an age 3-4 years old, or they just need to be paid more attention to, and you find them somewhere where they're not supposed to be, and it gets just a little bit frustrating. Any thoughts there?
Well, that's a good one.
And that's one that you're not the only one dealing with that one, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I think that it's such a difficult thing when people have vastly different parenting styles. But I think when you get together with a large family, you know, when everybody's there, all the kids, in my mind, this is just me, I think we're all, you know, all the parents there are there to protect the kids and make sure they have a good time. So if the parent of the child that maybe is eating a chocolate something on the lovely leather couch isn't around, then you gently take that child to a place that's a better fit for what they're doing. And I understand sometimes parents of that child could get a little bit upset with you, but if it's your house also, you can definitely, if it is your house, then there are definitely some rules that you can put out there and enforce in a kind and easy way. Does that help?
John, thank you. I think we lost John. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Okay. It is one that I'm sure many, many, many people, an issue that many, many people have had. And it's okay if it's your house then to say in a nice, obviously a nice way to the youngster, let's go over here at this table and eat that chocolate, or sit down with them and do something with them for a few minutes.
You know, whenever we've had the holidays here at our house, we have designated an area that was a fun place for kids, you know, and with toys and games and things like that that would be enticing to them. And so you don't just say, oh, you're, you know, relegated to the back patio or something like that. You have to make sure that it's good for them, happy for them, fun for them. And then it's not such a big deal if you go, oh, you know, not in here. We have to go in there. It's an easier thing to lead them to fun than to, you know, banish them from the kingdom, if you will.
You know, I just have to, we were at, my daughter and I were at a Thanksgiving dinner at a friend's home. Uh-huh. And with several kids, there were probably 10 kids.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, and the hostess for that had a tablecloth for the kids' table with each of their names on it in a spot, and then she had written in crayon, "What are you thankful for? Can you put this down?" And so the kids all got around the table and they were all talking about what they were thankful for and writing it right on the tablecloth. And I thought, what a wonderful, it kept them busy, they were having a good time doing it. It was a good lesson to hear what other kids were thankful for.
Yeah. It's such a nice way to honor the children, too, to just embrace them being there instead of just, oh, they're the kids in the kids' room, but really bringing out what matters to them. And I just think that's a beautiful thing that whoever it was that did that.
Yeah, she, Karen, you did a good job. Randy in Fifield.
Good job, Karen.
Let's go to Randy in Fifield next. Hi, Randy. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Let's go back to the dung rain just briefly. What happens if you're in Bug's shoes, but you've got an obnoxious, loud neighbor who all the neighbors are upset with, but no one but you is willing to confront the situation that they're presenting you.
Yeah. First off, what is it that you want to have happen if you confront them?
Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet. Okay. Has anyone ever confronted them before with any kind of success?
Not with success.
Not with success. Okay. Gosh, that's a tough one. That is. I mean,
it seems to be a battle of wills over whose rights are being violated.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because if the normal things like going and telling them, please will you turn it down or talk quieter or whatever it is that they're doing that's too loud, if that doesn't work, I like to go to my back pocket, kindness really helps. You know, if there's some kind of if there's a way to forge a relationship with these people such that they would see that there's more than them in the situation. Do you know what I mean? How sometimes it is reaching out from a different place, like from kindness or from, I know it sounds kind of funny, but it often works when nothing else will. When force won't work and the normal things won't work, kindness often does, whether it's, you know, I'm not really sure. Like, let's just talk about the holidays, whether you bring them like a little gift or a neighborly gift or something like that, where you're sort of changing up the pattern of the way you've been relating. Do you know what I mean?
That makes sense, yes.
So, yeah, and this is kind of like a good time of the year to do it. It's an excuse. I mean, you've got an excuse. It's the holiday season.
Yeah, any other time it might seem odd.
Yeah, any other time, but some nice bakery or or
Christmas
a gift.
Cookies.
Yeah, Christmas cookies, a pie, something, you know, anything like that I think could maybe work. And if it doesn't work, what are you out? You know, some Christmas cookies or a pie. You know, it's worth a try, I would think. Oh,
yeah,
man.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in. We have open lines now. We'll get you on pretty quickly. What's your experience been? Or are you worried about a tricky relationship at the holidays? Have you managed to turn a relationship around? I'd love to hear that experience as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Miller Show Facebook page. You can post right there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You have five really great tips for getting through the holidays despite difficult people. So, Terry, so let's go through those. One of them is don't expect others to change. That's probably one that we'd always like to have happen, but it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we fight with ourselves about wishing somebody would be exactly what we want them to be. But, you know, in reality, when we're talking about good boundaries, like I think I said before, we really can only be in charge of ourselves and, you know, change whatever is within us to change a situation. So if we expect other people to change, we're only going to be disappointed if they haven't taken that on themselves. So if you take that off your plate and you just go in and bring yourself there, and if somebody starts misbehaving or doing something that's not okay with you, then you, in your mind's eye, you can go, yep, that they're doing it again. That's them. And not go, oh man, they shouldn't do that. You know, it should be more like, yeah, that's what I thought, you know. And it kind of frees you up just to notice it and not take it in.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I mean, your second point was be aware and prepare, and that's kind of what you're talking about there.
Yeah, with the be aware and prepare, that has to do with preparing yourself and especially being compassionately aware of your own vulnerabilities, the things that will push your buttons or the tender parts of you that of your heart and mind that others might use against you. And oftentimes in a family, even in the best of families, there are people who will come across kind of as bullies, and they'll kind of like a heat-seeking missile find the person whose vulnerabilities are showing, and they'll use it for folly. And that happens, and people get embarrassed or they get insulted. And if you go into a party already knowing, yeah, I'm, you know, maybe I didn't lose the 25 pounds I wanted to last year, and if somebody's going to say something about that, I already know it's fine, you know, something like that, like the New Year's resolution. I think I wrote that in the article about somebody pointing out, oh, well, it doesn't look like you lost it. It looked like you found it, you know, the 25 pounds. You know? And, you know, it's really funny because I have come across people like that who will say things so blatantly inappropriate. And, you know, and you can either laugh like, wow, I can't believe you said that. Or you can go, yeah, yeah, I know. It's okay. You know, pass the cookies, you know, or whatever. And that way you're sort of bolstering yourself so nobody can tell you something about you that you don't already know. And I mean lovingly and compassionately owning your vulnerabilities, not beating yourself up, because that's not a good idea.
Well, that's kind of like using the power of your imagination, too. I was coming up with, you know, imagining things. But that was your third point, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. And that has to do with imagining, using the power of your mind to imagine the fences that you need with, let's say, the person who comes in and says something completely inappropriate to you that you might already know. Let's say, you know, Uncle Sam, or that's kind of a funny one to use. Well, let's just say Uncle Joe always says something inappropriate. So you think ahead of time, you sort of take an inventory of the people that you might see at this gathering and think, oh, yeah, Uncle Joe always says something that's embarrassing. So I'm going to imagine that there's a fence that I'm building between, you know, on the border between his ranch and my ranch, if you will, or him and his side and my side, and build it tall enough that I might be able to hear it, but it's not going to get to me. You know, he might say it, but it's just not going to land because there's a nice fence there. And, you know, it sounds like, well, very simple and simplistic, but when you use the power of your mind that way and use the creative mind where all solutions are found to build a fence that protects you emotionally from, you know, difficult people or people who are difficult for you, it really works. It's kind of amazing. You can go into a party of many difficult people, and if you have your fences just right, and the fences are different for each person that you come in contact with, and that's why you have to think ahead of time using your imagination and kind of practicing your mind. Yeah, I think I need a brick fence with this person, and oh, this one I just need a little picket fence, and you know, and that kind of a thing. And when you go into a gathering of people with that kind of rehearsal for yourself, having used your imagination, you are completely covered, and you can go in and relax and trust yourself to be able to handle any situation that comes up.
And trust yourself. You review and resolve and trust yourself. Those were the final two of the five great tips.
Yeah, those, and it really works. I'm a sensitive person myself, intuitive, sensitive, probably sometimes oversensitive. And this Tending Fences book really was, I wrote it for it came to me for me and for everyone else who's like me, you know, who does kind of absorb a bit from the world. And this really works. And the little stories that I wrote in the Tending Fences book, each of them addresses a universal issue that most of us have with people in our world. And in a very approachable way, it gives ways to solve it for yourself so that you can feel safe and happy in the world with yourself.
Andrea in Sparta, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to ask a question about siblings gathering. We don't have a lot of contact with each other other than the holidays, and we have very different orientations to religious and political points of view. And I've tried over the years just to find the common spots, but it's really modeling a much more superficial relationship than I want with my siblings, and I'm modeling it superficially to my children and my wonderful nephews, and just wanted to find out if there was something new I could do this holiday.
Mm. Well, that's a good one, and I do think that politics and religion, discussing those in the holidays, it's just really a recipe for disaster for most people unless everyone's on the same page. But my husband introduced this idea to me. I don't know if he did it with his family or if it was just something he heard about. But he said when a family came together, and it might have been his big, huge family, extended family, when they came in the door, they were each given a little sheet of paper to write down something about themselves that nobody else knows. you know, hopefully something not too embarrassing, but, you know, like just something that's kind of outstanding that maybe people in your family don't even know about you, and then they would put them into this box or a hat or something like that, and then at the dinner table or during dessert or whatever, somebody would pull one out and they'd read it, and it would be give everyone a chance to guess who that one belonged to. You know, like giving
oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, giving a chance to really go off the in another direction as far as noticing things about each other. And I mean, it's completely different than sitting down and discussing something. It's like, gosh, I wonder who that is. And then if somebody guesses it, then they can tell a little bit more about the story or something like that. So, and people have to dig maybe a little bit deep to figure out what people don't know about them. But when family hasn't been together for a while, there might have been things that came up,
sure,
you know, that could be outstanding or funny or, you know, outrageous or something like that. And it's very entertaining, and it's
well, Andrea is looking for something deeper with her family, and I think this could be a way to expose some of that.
Yeah, and all ages can, you know, from your nieces, nephews, and you know, siblings, all the way across the board, everybody can put something in there and have their own little, you know, couple minutes of fame. You know.
Thank you,
Andrea. Thank you very much for calling. You know what? I think that's a wonderful, wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Here we are, a few weeks out from the end of the year holidays. If we know that, you know, you're going to see a person who you have a tricky relationship, anything else we can do right now to make things go more smoothly? And I guess maybe go back to those five really great tips that you had.
Yeah, I think that the best thing that we can possibly do is to prepare ourselves to be the most, you know, the best of ourselves. You know, bring the best of ourselves to the holiday gatherings. Set aside things that are bothering us and go in with love and compassion and an open heart, maybe with a bit of a shield over it, because you never know what's going to happen. But just to go in lovingly. I know that sounds kind of Hollywoodish or whatever,
no,
but it's really true. I mean, the key to everything, and what I think we all probably want to get to, is to be a good, solid, loving person, and in every situation, and not be hurt and not be offended or offend somebody else. I don't think usually most people don't
no,
go in with that idea. You know.
No. No. Well, this has been, Terry, this has been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope we have a chance to get together again and talk again on the show.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Terry, thank you. Terry Barnett Martin, a licensed marriage and family therapist for more than 20 years, practices in Irvine, California, and the author of Tending Fences, Building Safe and Healthy Relationship Boundaries. That's a useful conversation for me. I hope it was for you. It's always great to feel like we have the tools to have positive interactions with the people around us. Coming up next, we're going to talk with someone who is committed to making the world a more welcoming and supportive place for all people, and particularly those with intellectual and development challenges. Timothy Shriver heads the Special Olympics, and he has a brand new book. Man, it's a dandy. It's called Fully Alive, Discovering What Matters Most. It should be a wonderful conversation. So you stay with us right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.